Today we're going to be moving forward in our Wonderfully Made series. This is our fourth week in the series. If you haven't heard the other sermons, I just encourage you to check out our podcast or our website and try to catch up. We're wanting to unpack what does it mean that we're created by God. Obviously, we're created for a purpose, right? God doesn't create things to do nothing. Right? So there's a purpose behind every piece of his creation. And so we are not exempt from that, right? We have a lot of purpose behind why we were created. And so what we've unpacked so far is, like last week we talked about that we're created to know God. That seems like such a simple truth, right? That we're created to know God, but it's also our life's purpose. It's our life's pursuit is to unpack who God really is. And that feeds into this week's message, and that is that we are created really to love. We are created to love. That is all over Scripture, the greatest commandments, right? Everything has to do with love, our love for others. The whole of the law can be summed up in this one thing. Scripture says to love your neighbor as yourself, right? And so God created us to love others, but we have to know how he loves us first in order to figure out how we are to properly love others. So today is all about our love of others. We were created to love.
Yeah, we're going to read a pretty famous passage of Scripture in 1 John. So if you had your Bible, please open up to the book of 1 John chapter 4. And if you don't have a Bible, if you don't own a Bible in your life, please write that on that card. We want to make sure everybody gets a Bible. That's an important thing. And if you didn't bring one, but you have one at home, it'll also be up here on the screen, and it's also on our app as well. So I'm going to read this to you starting in verse 7, and I want us to count how many times the word love is mentioned. Are you ready for this? Because I didn't count ahead of time, so I really need someone to be the counter, okay? So are you with me? Are you ready? Okay, someone, one of you is like, yes, I'm ready. Competition, I can't wait. All right, okay, so it says in verse 7, "Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he is in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us." 21? Everyone get 21? 22? Oh, 22. There was a missed one. Oh, no. So when we look at this passage, we can quickly understand that this is about love, right? I mean, that word is mentioned 22, maybe 21, we'll see, times in just these short couple of verses. And so we want to kind of break this down today because it's a lot of love kind of garble. Like, what does this mean? Like, he loves us, we love him, he is love, all this. But the main truth we want to bring out today is that we are made to love others. Now, we talked about that God created us in his image, and if that's true, then that the deductive reasoning would tell us if God is love, then we are also made to love others. And I was thinking about this and wondering, that's probably why it feels so foreign to us when we don't act in love. It kind of messes with us, you know? Have you ever just, like, sinned, yes, you know, and didn't act in love towards somebody else, and it caused maybe anxiety or frustration in and of yourself, because you are not made to act that way. You are made to love others. And so we know, like, if you've been a Christian any amount of time, you know, well, yeah, like God says, greatest commandments, right? Love God and love others. But I want to answer the question for us today is, if that's true, if we're made to love others, what kind of love are we made for? Yeah, they're whispering over there. There we go. Okay. What kind of love are we made for? Because the world has lots of different definitions of love, right? Cody and I were talking about this and saying, you know, we can say like, I love this, I love that, I love you, but not really understand it's different than when I tell my kid I love her, right? There's a different level there. And so what kind of love are we made for?
Yeah, well, the first thing that we see here is that we are made for a love that sacrifices. We see this in verse 10. It says, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Mm-hmm. You know, if we are made to love, then as we said before, we have to take our cues on how to love from the one who created us and created love itself. Right? We have to take our cues from him, not from anybody else, not from this world, right? Because, like we said, you know, love is not like. And I think too often our world thinks that's the case, that if you like something strongly, then you must love it, right? But as we see here, that love is about sacrifice. You love something enough to give something up for it. Like, when people say, "I love pizza," you're not going to sacrifice your life for pizza, right? Depends on the pizza, maybe, but who knows? but you know what I'm saying, right? You're not going to. We throw that term around so loosely in our society, right? Like, "Oh, I love that. It's so good," you know. And it's like, no, you just like it a lot, right? And so then we get skewed in the way that we view others. Then we start thinking that love has something to do with like, when it really doesn't. Love has to do with sacrifice, what you're willing to set aside for someone. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. You know, we see this in John 15:13. It says, "Greater love is no man than this, than to set your life aside, than to lay down your life for your friends." Right? And that is the epitome of love. That's what Jesus did for of us. That is love's ultimate act. And that, when it talks about atonement here, right, it says that word atonement, and that's a kind of a big word that's sometimes hard to wrap our minds around, but atonement really is the central theme of the entirety of Scripture. Right? From the moment Adam and Eve, from the moment that sin entered the world, when they chose to disobey God, right? God set into motion a plan for us to be able to come back to him. Mm-hmm. He set a plan in motion for restoration to occur in the face of brokenness. And that is atonement. Jesus was that way, right? Jesus was the way for brokenness to get restored. And so Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. He gave his life on that cross to atone for our sins, to say, even though you've sinned, even though you've done all these things, because I died for you, for that, I took your sin on my shoulders, and now you can be back in complete and total harmony and relationship with God. Mm-hmm. We talk about this word sozo a lot at our church, right? And it's this amazing, powerful word that says saved, healed, delivered, restored, made whole. It's used all throughout the New Testament, but it's that Greek word sozo is so powerful. It gets us to give us this full image of what Jesus really does for us. That is love. Full deliverance, full restoration, opening the way, right? Any bridge you think you've burned with God, Jesus built that right back up, and you can't burn it. There's not enough lighter fluid in the world for you to burn that bridge again. There is nothing you can do to separate yourself from the love of God, because it's sacrificial. He sacrificed everything for us. We are made to model sacrificial love now. That is the first thing that we're shown. When we come into relationship with God, that is through who? Jesus. That's through Jesus. Jesus sacrificed himself for us, that ultimate act of love. And now we call ourselves Christians once we enter into that relationship with him, right? Christians means little Christs, A little Jesus is running around everywhere, right? That's who we are to this world. And so we are meant to show sacrificial love to those we encounter every single day. Mm-hmm. That is our job. That is what we are now created for. Once you enter into relationship with Jesus, now you must convey sacrificial love to others. Amen. Are we grabbing that? Are we understanding that?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Have you ever been impacted by someone else's sacrificial love? Can you think of a time that someone did something for you that was a great sacrifice for them? You know, I remember when I was engaged, the week before we got married, I was so overwhelmed with all the stuff we had to do. I was 19 years old, by the way, super young. And we're moving into this apartment and we didn't have all the things we needed. And I was just like stressed. I remember that. And after church one Sunday, the Sunday before we got married, Matt's cousin Brooke, who wasn't my family yet, it was part of his family, she noticed this in me, and she said, well, why don't I spend my afternoon with you, and we'll just get everything set up. And she came over, and she unpacked every single box that I had had, and she actually went to the store and bought groceries and cleaning supplies. I mean, she just, like, did it up. And we were young at the time. I remember she spent like $100 when, you know, when you're 19 and she's like 20, she's a year older than I am, you know, spending $100 was like, oh my gosh, like you don't have that. You know, she was a newlywed herself. And that has always impacted me because she took the time out of the blue, you know, canceled her whole day for someone that she didn't know that well just to love me. Just to love me. That really impacted me. You know, what's interesting is when we talk about loving people with sacrificial love, sometimes it feels like this outward thing that I kind of have to find. I have to muster up. You know, I have to say, okay, I got to do that. But what we're saying is not that we do that. Yes, the actions are supposed to be part of the overflow of our hearts, but we're saying that we're created to love that way. You're created to love that way. And the broken, sinful nature has kind of robbed us and some of our sacrificialness, sacrificing spirit, and we kind of tend more towards selfishness and our brokenness and in our sin. But Jesus has severed the sin tie in our lives to restore us to full capacity as human beings, and we are made to love sacrificially. You know, I heard this pastor say this week. I was watching this video, and it's just been hitting me. He said, the things that bring you the greatest satisfaction require the greatest sacrifice. And I went through my head. He was talking about money, honestly. He was talking about the more generous you are, the more satisfaction you have in your life. But then I was thinking about parenting. I mean, there's no greater sacrifice I have experienced on the earth except besides parenting. And I'll tell you what, there's no satisfaction greater than sacrificing that for my kids, right? Same in our marriages, our relationships, or the call that God has on our lives when we sacrifice for Jesus what he's asked us to do. And so you are not just made to act in sacrificial love. You are actually made at the core of your being to give it. And so do you love that way? Do you love sacrificially? Is that maybe something that you're realizing, no, maybe I've forgotten that in my new creation in Jesus Christ that I'm made that way, maybe that's something I need to have a conversation with God about.
Yeah, sacrifice always requires something of you. And that's how you know when real love is in play in your life, right? Is that it's requiring some sort of sacrifice from you. Real love means sacrificing time, mm-hmm. sacrificing your comfort, sacrificing your wealth, right? Sacrificing financial gain. It costs something to truly love someone. And so if that's the case, then God is asking you to sacrifice something because you were created to love. You were created to love. That is your purpose. So God, today, I guarantee the Holy Spirit is impressing something upon you this morning, something he's asking you to sacrifice, to say, would you set this aside? Because that's what I've asked you to do. I have set aside everything for you. Jesus set his very, very life aside for mm-hmm. you. If the Holy Spirit is asking you, would you give some time? Would you give something that might hurt a little bit, might cause you some discomfort? Are you willing to set that aside and sacrifice that for the sake of someone else today? In what way today is God urging you to be more loving? I just urge you to take just a second. Take a second. Close your eyes and ask that question. God, what is it you are asking me to sacrifice for you, to sacrifice for others right here, right now?
Yeah, our second point that we see in this passage is that the kind of love that we're made for is we're made for a love that shows others who God is. Okay, we're made for a kind of love that shows others who God is. And let me read this verse to you. This is incredible. This actually, like, this week has, like, opened up my eyes to something new. In verse 12, it says, "No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." So it's saying no one has ever seen God, but when we love one another, his love lives in us. And so I did a word study in that Greek, the "in us," and it actually is not, sometimes I used to read it kind of like "in me." Like "in me and in you," it lives in each of us individually. But the Greek actually kind of points out that it's kind of like lives between us. Like when I love someone else, it's like now there's love in us, in our relationship. And what it's saying actually is that it unveils the presence of God. So no one has ever seen God, but when I love someone else with that sacrificial love, it actually shows that person the presence of God. It like unveils the presence of God right there. And that was incredible for me to hear, because it's not just like, oh yeah, God is always with us, but it's the manifestation of his presence. Don't you wish you could see God? Have you ever thought that before? Like if I could just know you're like right here with me right now, and could you tell me what to do right now, right? It's saying that if we want to experience the presence of God, to see him, maybe not physically right in front of us, but with our spiritual eyes, then we should love one another. That's how it's manifested. I thought that was incredible. You know, I wrote this down here. We are created in the image of God, right? It says that in Scripture, that God created us in his image. And that image is unveiled in us and through us when we love others. It speaks the language of our souls. The very DNA of our Creator is woven into us. And when I love someone else, it actually shows that image that I carry of my Creator. It's like the invisible God seen right in front of the other person's eyes. Isn't that incredible? It's like all of a sudden, that beautiful part that I reflect, someone else gets to see it. And, you know, and I've always thought, you know, if we're created in God's image, I wonder what part I reflect. And so can you imagine a church of people that understand that, and that when they love, that that image of God that they carry is unveiled? I mean, it's like the full picture of God sitting in here in this room when we love each other well. It's a miracle. Isn't that amazing? Incredible when you study the words.
Yeah. We have this pastor that we love so much. His name is Pastor Dave, and he's at Christian Faith Fellowship. And we've done several events with them, but I've shared this story before, but Dave is one of those people that I look at as an amazing example of the love of God and who God really is. He embodies that so well. You know, there was one time where we had this kind of big meeting about the land purchase, and like Dave was at the meeting at my house, and he was sitting kind of off to the side, and I was sitting right here, and it was kind of a nervous experience, like this was the decision as to whether or not we were going to get 4.5 acres for this church, you know. And he was sitting over here, and there was this moment where I got kind of nervous, and I looked over, and the window was open, and he had, like, long hair at the time, and he's got a beard, and, like, the light was shining, like, through him, and so I couldn't make all the, it was like, Jesus is here! Oh, we're gonna be okay, this is good, you know, like, but that's, like.
You have to see what he looks like. He literally looks like
Jesus. He does, he looks like that. But
like what I think Jesus looks like.
But there was this one time where Ashley and I, we went to meet with him at Starbucks just to chat, and he just checks in on us. He's a great guy about that. And there was this moment where you know, Dave asked me some questions, and I was like, well, you know what, I'll have to think about that. You know, he asked me some deep questions about me and what I was kind of maybe going through at the time, and trying to just push me. He was just pushing me gently out of love to deal with it right then and there, right? But I was like, I'm in Starbucks, and we're sitting right next to the line of people, and so I'm not about to, like, get all vulnerable right now, right? Like, be like, yeah, that's a really good point, Dave, and I'm going to leave here and try to deal with that another time, right? But what ended up happening is Dave literally reached across the table, put his hand on my head, and he's like, Cody, deal with it right now. Hand it over. Hand it over, Cody. And I'm like, Dave, there's people watching right now. Like, do you have any idea how weird they think this is right now, right? But you know what? Dave doesn't care. Like, he didn't care. He just loved me enough to, like, even put me into some embarrassment, right? But for my own good, because he didn't want me to walk out of that Starbucks still dealing with the junk that I did when I came in.
Yeah.
And that's what God does for us, right? He doesn't let us get away with stuff. And you know what? Dave knows who God is. And so he is able to convey to others who God is through his love. And that is a huge requirement. We have to have a love that shows others who God is, but we have to know God first. We have to know who he is in order to show others the love that he wants them to see, right? And we unpacked that last week in Jeremiah 24, right, where it says, let the one who boasts about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth, for in these I delight. And you know what? One of the challenges in showing others God's love is that God's love isn't something that we can take lightly in those moments. Mm-hmm. God's love is an unstoppable force. It grips you, it changes you, it transforms you in ways that you didn't think were possible. So the challenge in that is that most people, deep down in their spirit, they know they need God's love. They crave it. They know that there's something missing in their lives. And so when you represent God's love, fear comes up. And it tells them, you know what, maybe I don't want to do that. You know what, maybe I don't want to go to church with you today. Maybe I'm not ready to have that conversation with you. And they back away. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they don't show up to an appointment that you set. Maybe they just, like, forget, you know. And I tell people all the time, right, when we're going to meet with people, like, we say, hey, you're going to want to quit. You're going to want to call me and say you're not going to be able to make it that day. It's just how it works. Right, and I don't take offense at that. I know. It's just that's how it works. I don't. When I'm having to go someone and I know I'm going to be bearing my soul to him at Starbucks with a guy that's going to be putting his hand on my head, I'm like, there's a temptation to be like, maybe not today. maybe another day would be good for that. Maybe I'll need to gear up for that, right? But it's because God's love grips you. It doesn't let you go in that moment. Mm-hmm. And so when you convey that to others and they come in contact with you, there's a chance that they might try to pull away. But God's love is relentless. God's love is relentless. And so in order to show others who God is, then we have to be relentless as well.
Yeah.
We have to pursue. We have to track down. We have to tell people, I love you. I am here for you. And then when they really press why, we can say, because God loves me. Mm-hmm. And he's here for me. And I just want you to know him. That's the ultimate goal of loving anybody, is to get them into the love of God, because our love pales in comparison.
Yeah.
Only God can transform. Only God can change. And the joy that we have as Christians is to show others how he's changed us.
Yeah, you know, here we call ourselves storytellers. You heard me say that earlier. And the tagline we have for that is that you have a story with Jesus that needs to be told so someone else can have a story with him too. You know, each one of you has experienced Jesus in a different way in your own life. There's different reasons why we sit in this room today, but we know it's because of the love of Jesus and what he's done in our lives. And we believe that it's not just enough to have that experience. Other people need to have that experience, and it's going to come through you sharing what he's done in your life, right? You need to show others who God is. But I'll tell you what, love gets you in the room to tell your story. Loving others gets you in the room, in the vicinity, in the moment with the person that needs Jesus, so that you can share him. You can share your story with them. Love has to precede just talking. Right? Love is the foundation of that. And so I want to ask you today, do you love others well? I mean, just for yourself, do you love others well? It's the greatest commandment is to love God and love people. And if you're thinking, you know what, I have it down a little, but there's certain people, right? It's easy to love easy people, amen, right? It's the difficult people. Literally just right now, I got a text from my sister who lives with my other sister, and one sister always goes into the other sister's room and steals her clothes, and she's so sick of it. She's told her she doesn't like it. She keeps doing it, and my one sister was like, what should I do? She keeps doing it. You know, I'm like, just love her. Like, we're literally preaching about this, and I see it pop up on my iPad. What should I do about this? I'm like, love her. The difficult people in our lives need the love of God the most, right? They do. I swear they're going to listen to this and be like, how dare you talk about us on a Sunday. But that's the kind of love that we're made for, not just a petty love, but a love that shows others who God is.
Yeah, and our last point today is that love that is reliable, right? It's a reliability in our life. What kind of love are we made for? Love that is reliable. So we see this in verse 16. It just says real quick here. It says, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. This reliability is something I am so thankful for, aren't you? That God is something we can always rely on. He is unchanging. He is always the same. He approaches us the same way every time, just purely out of a state of love and wanting what is best for us. You know, I think a lot, I'm so thankful that God isn't as moody and fickle as we are.
Thank you, Jesus.
Right? That he doesn't change the way that he feels about us, how often we change the way we feel about him. Right? Imagine if he did the same thing, and like there was days where just like, you know, I don't want to show up for them. You know, I don't really feel like hanging out with them today. You know, I don't really want to talk to them today. I'm just going to do something else. You know, if God did that towards us, we'd be in trouble, right? We'd be in a lot of trouble in our lives. But it's amazing that with the inconsistency that we have towards him, he shows this absolute total consistency, just arms open, ready at all times. And that's what is so amazing, right? Is that no matter how many times we complain to God, when we come to him in prayer, so often it's just because like, oh, something bad's going on and I need you to save me from this, right? And we end up complaining so often, right? Or no matter how much we have misrepresented God as the church, no matter how many times we have driven his name in the dirt as the church with headlines in the news about pastors doing horrendous things, about churches holding signs that say things that God would never, ever, ever, ever condone. If we, no matter how many times, no matter how many times we do these things, the exact microsecond that we choose to come back to him, that we choose to turn around and say, I'm ready, God scoops us up in his arms. And I just picture him laughing with joy, holding us and saying, of course, I love you. I am here for you. That is never, ever going to change. Do I forgive you? Absolutely. It's as if it never happened. That is the love of God. That is the reliability, the unquestioned reliability of God at work. And that is the same love that he is asking us to model. And that is tough. It's tough sometimes because love is not like. And too often we build relationships on like instead of love. And like only lasts for so long in every relationship, right? Like comes and goes. It ebbs and flows. Right? But love is a choice. Love is a decision that we have to make to say whenever we encounter somebody else, we look at them the exact same way God looks at them. We see them created the same way that God created us. We see them with the image of God on them, and we say, God, I want to love this person the same way I love you, the same way you love me. I want to love this person, not just try to like this person, because you know what? We're going to fail at that a lot of times in our lives. But we can always, always, always choose to love because that is what has been modeled to us. Amen?
Yeah, what is something reliable in your life? Okay, so I'll tell you what. Let me ask. Anyone a PC user in here? Like, raise your hand. PC people. All right. Mac people, raise your hand. Right. The rest of you don't use a computer. Okay. So I'll tell you what, about a year ago, I got a MacBook. And it was a big, you know, big expense, and it was a big learning curve. But I'll tell you what, I've had PCs my whole life, and I've had to get new ones every, okay, you guys are mad now, PC people. Had to get new ones every 2 years, you know, because they're slow or whatever. I'll tell you, that Mac turns on when I push the button. It, like, flawlessly operates. And I use my computers. I'm a photographer, and so I really process large files often through them. And, I never have to wonder if my MacBook is going to work. You're going to, like, I'm going to come back next week and be like, it failed. But it's so reliable. You know, it's just as reliable as, like, the gas pump. Like, I pull up into the gas station, it never occurs to me that there might not be gas in the pump, right? I don't even know where it comes from. Maybe it doesn't store in the pump. It stores somewhere else. But for me, I just put that thing in, and it fills up my car. What'd you say?
Magic.
Yes. MacBooks, gas pumps, yeah, it's all magic. I don't need to know how it works. I just know that it does, right? And I love what Cody said. He said the unquestionable, reliable love of God. I love that. And so the question for us today is, what kind of track record would other people say about the way that you love? Are people, do they feel like they can come to you without question? And you're going to love them no matter what they bring to the table. I mean, this is a challenge for me as a parent, right? Like, the Bible says the Lord disciplines those he loves. So absolutely, I'm going to discipline my kids. But do I do it in love or do I do it in anger, right? Do my kids know they can come to me and that the track record that I have proves to them that I have love for them? I have love waiting for them. How reliable is your love? Can friends come to you? And let me say too, love is not the same thing as people pleasing, and love is not the same thing as no boundaries, right? Sometimes in love, we have to put boundaries down for people in our lives that keep coming and asking, and maybe we can enable them if we don't put a boundary down. But we can know, they should know that when they come to us, we are going to show them the love of God, that we are reliable in that way. No matter what it is, whether it's a boundary putting down or generosity or discipline and love. And it feels foreign to us in our sin nature to love this way because it does require great sacrifice. But this passage says that his spirit is in us. I love that line there. It says that we know this because his spirit is in us, it says. And so his spirit has filled up, kicked out the sin nature, and now we have full access to the presence of God, to the ability and the power. The word says the same power that conquered the grave lives in me, right? If I have the Holy Spirit in me, I have this incredible authority. And so I can access the kind of reliable love that Jesus has for me. I can access that for other people. What kind of track record would others say you have when it comes to loving them?
Yeah. So what is one thing that today you can do to up your reliability, to up the reliability of your love? You know, maybe that means that this week, if someone contacts you, if they text you or call you, and they're asking for help with something, that means that you're just going to respond more quickly than you normally would. Right? Maybe that's one thing you can choose today, this week. Maybe that means that you need to apologize to someone that you've maybe bailed on, that was counting on you. Maybe it just means that you'll look for an opportunity to love someone more deeply for the purpose of pointing them to Jesus. You know, we talked about burned bridges before, and you know, burned bridges in relationships can be rebuilt. It's not a final thing. And so if your love in the past has been less than reliable mm-hmm. towards someone, you can go back and rebuild that bridge because you're not the one doing the rebuilding if you're doing it for the right reasons. The Holy Spirit has already gone before and began construction on that. The bridge is being rebuilt as we speak. It's your willingness to cross it and to show others the reliability of God's love so that they can come into relationship with him. Trust can be restored, guys. It can happen. It takes time and effort. It takes reliability on your part, but trust can be restored. Remember, no matter what we do, right? No matter how we love, we have to keep first and foremost that we don't do any of it for ourselves. Otherwise, it's not sacrificial. We're trying to gain something out of that relationship, right? But as long as we love, not for the sake of ourselves, but for the sake of God, for the sake of others, then we always know that we're on the right track in that relationship. We can always know that that relationship is something that Jesus can move in powerfully. Mm-hmm. We never want to sever the opportunity for Jesus to move, amen? We always want to be the reliable one in a relationship so that Jesus can show them his reliability.
Yeah, we're going to have the worship team come forward. We're going to go into the next part of our service. And today we're going to take part in communion. We thought this would be the perfect way to experience the truth that went out today in God's word. Because it says that that Jesus, the night before he was arrested, the night before he went to the cross, actually, he sat down with the disciples, the 12 disciples. And he knew that Judas was sitting there and that Judas was going to reject him and overturn him to the Pharisees. He knew that Peter was going to deny him in front of people, like turn his back on him completely. He knew everything that was going on in that moment. He knew the cross that he was about to walk, to be nailed on, and the weight of sin that he was going to have to bear. He knew all of that, and still he sat there, and in Scripture it says this incredible thing that he went around the table and he washed their feet. I mean, these dirty men had been traveling all day, and he went around and he washed their feet. The Savior of the world, our God, emptied himself into becoming a human being, and he washed the dirty feet of those that would betray him, that would scatter at the first sight of struggle when it came to following him. There is no love like that. There is no story on earth ever told like that, that carries that much weight, that much power for us. Every other religion would say, you know, you have to achieve to these high goals, high things. And Jesus says, you know, I just humbled myself because I love you. There's nothing you can do about it. I love you with a love that sacrifices, with a love that is present. I'm present in your life, and with a reliable love that you can lean on. Lean on at any point, no matter what you've done, I'm here. I'm here for you. And so we're going to take part in communion today. And I love communion because it just feels to me like I've heard these words and I've just realized, I don't know about you, but all the things are going through my head about when I didn't love reliably, right? I'm just thinking about that. And I'm thinking about, you know, the people that are difficult in my life that I'm being challenged with today. I need to love them better. I need to love them regardless, right? And I'm thinking about the challenge of loving sacrificially and how I can just tend towards selfishness. Those are the things happening in me as I speak this out. And so I love communion because we come forward and we take this. Jesus says, this is the way, the symbol at which you're going to remember what I did for you. And there's something about it, right? Ingesting it. He says, this is my body. This is my blood given for you. And there, it's becoming a part of them. And I love that as we come up here, we've heard this kind of love that we're supposed to have for others. And we're saying we're made to love that way. Not just we have to figure out how to do it, but we're made really at the core of who we are in the image of God to love like this. We're going to come up. We're going to let it fill us once again. We're going to thank Jesus for what he did. Make new vows before him. Lord, you know what? Thank you that your love's reliable. Mine has not been. Lord, empower me now. Fill me with your presence that I could love the way that you've loved me. I'm going to have you bow your heads. I'm going to ask just a few questions. And we like to do this at our church to give you the opportunity to respond to him, to kind of concrete a moment in time that maybe God spoke to you. And what we always want to start with, if you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you don't have one, and you're hearing about this kind of love, and I know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to your soul, and maybe some people in here thought they knew him, but now you're realizing, you know, I don't have a relationship with him. I know about him, but I don't know him. And you hear this today about this kind of love, and you want to experience this in your own life, you want to start a relationship with Jesus, would you raise your hand? I just want to give you the opportunity. Just raise your hand today. Thank you. Anyone else? Just raise your hand. You know, if you've heard this morning about a love that sacrifices, and you're realizing, you know what, I have not sacrificed well. I've been more selfish, and I want to kind of go back on that now. I want to say, Lord, forgive me for my selfishness and empower me to love sacrificially. Would you just raise your hand if that's a word for you? Awesome, guys. I was so moved by just that truth that when we love others, it unveils the presence of God, almost like he's hiding. And then when we love, it's like, there he is. He's right there. We can see him, touch him, experience him. If you're just hearing that, you say, you know, I want to love people like that, that shows others who God is. Lord, use me to impact other people. Thank you. Just raise your hand. Use me to show the presence, your presence to others. Awesome. What a prayer. And love that is reliable. Maybe today that was a word for you. You've realized I've just been kind of flaky in the love department. And there's a reason why I'm not feeling good about that. It's because I'm not made to love that way. And you want to say, you know what, I'm taking on the love that Christ has empowered me with, a reliable love. Would you just raise your hand? Awesome. At our church, you just have to know Jesus as your Savior to take communion. The way it works is we're going to go into worship. You can get up at any point when you feel like you're ready. Come to the center, walk up here. We have the bread on one side. You can just dip it into the juice there. Go back to your seat and take it when you feel ready. The Bible says just don't take it lightly. Don't take it flippantly. This is an incredible thing, a way that, what the word says, a means of grace, that we experience God's presence when we do it. God, thank you so much for the way you've moved in this place today, technical issues and all. Father, you are so faithful. Lord, we thank you that we can gather in a cafeteria in the middle of the desert, quite literally. And God, you care enough to meet with us, to remind us, to kind of stoke the fire in our souls, fanning it into flame. God, I pray today that as we come forward, as we experience this incredible symbol, Father, would you just meet us in a way we've never met you before? Father, I pray that you would move in this place, that you would do something new. Lord, as we come forward and we're filled with the reminder of your love that's reliable and sacrificial, God, would you empower us by your Spirit? Anoint us, Lord, that this group of people would impact the world far beyond our insecurities or our fears or our worries of feeling awkward for other people, God, around other people, you know, worries that people might reject us if we share about you. God, I pray that there would be a new fire in our souls, a new anointing, and that people that call themselves even introverted or shy would have a new vigor to share your love with the world around them. God, we love you and we thank you.